Good morning. So good to see you all. I want to thank you for your prayers. I'll just be honest, this has not been an easy week. And today has not been an easy day. It doesn't matter who you are as a Christian, but we're not in control of the circumstances that come our way. But one thing that I do know is that God is still God, and we will still praise God even through the midst of tragedies or what other circumstances they may be. But I want to thank you for your prayers. My cousin was everything to me, and she was the light in my life. And I remember the day she was born, I got to go back to Arkansas, and I got to hold her when she was a baby. And I tell you what, just the love that I felt with that young girl. And then over the years, every time I'd go back home, she would always run and throw her arms around me and just hold me tight. Just say, I just love you. I just love you, Jimmy. I just love you. And anyway, I'm not going to dwell on any more of that, but just thank you for your prayers. And please pray for the family, because they are Jehovah's Witnesses. And there's a lot of unanswered questions right now, but you know what? God knows everything. And I hope and pray that before she died, I hope and pray that she got saved. That's my hope and prayer. And that's why I feel like it's so important that we be the kind of witnesses that Christ wants us to be. I had no idea what I was going to preach this today. I didn't, because I just couldn't think, because of this tragedy, and I still can't get my mind to really just get into things. But the sermon I got this morning, I believe, is going to be one that really speaks to us. And the scripture today comes out of 1 Peter 5:8. So if you would, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 5:8. And I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. But today I want to talk about avoiding the devil's snares. You know what? Let's jump to verse 6. I want to read verses 6 through 8, because I really believe this is going to be, these 6 and 7 is going to really tie into this very well. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. And God, today, we humble ourselves in Your mighty presence. We recognize You, Father God, as the mighty King, Your Son Jesus, our precious Savior, our Lord, our strength, our present help in trouble. And Father God, we recognize Your Holy Spirit sent to us to teach us all things, to strengthen us, to quicken us, to be our peace and our comfort and our guide. And we thank You, Father, for all that You've given to us. And Father, as we exalt You, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you and exalt you, Lord, we ask God that you pour out your Spirit upon us in a mighty way. Change us today from what we were to what you want us to be, Lord. And Father, help us to be sober and alert. Help us to be aware, because the devil is always on the prowl, seeking someone to devour. Father, speak this message today through me, Lord, and help me, God, to speak this message as you want it to be done. And Father, let every word be from you through your Holy Spirit, not from me or my words or my own flesh. For we ask it in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. When I think about our enemy, the devil, we know that the devil is prowling. We know that the devil is always lurking. If you reflect back in the Bible to Job, Job was a faithful servant of God. Job was one who trusted in God for everything in life. Job had everything. Job had a big family. Job had riches. He had cattle. So much. But there was a time when God saw Satan. And God asked of Satan, basically, what are you up to? Because Satan was, the Bible says, Satan was going to and fro in the earth, basically seeking someone he could devour, somebody he could go after. Now, in this very instance, God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job?" So what I want you to think right now is, how could God allow this? Well, number one, this is what I believe. Job had such a strong faith in God, God knew Job's heart. So that's why he said to Satan, "Have you considered him?" Because God knew. See, God knows everything from the beginning, and God knows everything to the very end. God is great. God is all-knowing. God is powerful. God is mighty. And God knew the outcome of Job's situation. That's why he could say to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And God allowed Satan at that moment to take away things from Job's life, inflict physical affliction upon him for a time, but Satan said, "You cannot touch his life. You cannot take his life. You cannot kill him," is what the Lord was saying. So, what happens to Job? Job loses members of his family. They die. He loses everything. He's left with nothing. And you're thinking, why would God allow this? Do you know why Satan comes at us? Do you know why Satan wants to attack us? He wants to rob us of our joy. So when he went after Job, he was thinking that he was literally going to dismantle Job's life. He was after Job's heart. He wanted to turn Job away from God. But Satan had no idea that Job was going to be carried by God. There were people who came against Job and said, even his own wife said, "You might as well curse God for what he's done to you. Look at where you're at. Sores all over his body. The dogs were coming up and licking the sores upon his body, the wounds that he had. He was festering in pain and torment. But Job, deep in the depths of his heart, said that he would not turn against God because he knew who Father God was, and he knew that God would carry him through. So let's look at our lives. Are we free and exempt from the troubles and trials of life? No, we're not. Do we know what's coming our way day after day? No, we do not. So that's why I thought if we go back to verse 6 and 7 and include those in with today's reading, it would bring it all together and make a lot of sense. If we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says that He will exalt us at the proper time. What does that mean? If we humble ourselves before the Lord God, and if we cast every care, cast every anxiety, if we cast every infliction at his feet, and if we trust God, and if we focus on God day after day, then God's going to give us the strength to be able to stand in the midst of our trials. Yesterday, Lord, help me get through this. I sat in a chair with questions. The devil at the back of my mind, you might as well just turn your back now. Look what's happened. Look where you're at. You might as well just walk away. It would be the easiest choice. But as I sat in that chair, I remembered a Savior who hung on a cross and how His blood flowed down that cross and how He was laid in a grave, and on the third day He came out of that tomb victorious. And I walked in this morning with such a heavy heart still. And as we sang, when we all get to heaven and I'll fly away, the Spirit of the Lord just filled me. And as Milton sang those songs, thank you, Milton, for those songs this morning. My heart was lifted to a totally different place this morning. But I realize she may not be here anymore. I don't understand the circumstances, but this I know: if I cast my anxiety on the Lord, if I cast my weakness before, if I cast my knees before the Lord, He hears it. He knew it before I came to Him. He knew it, and He knows the outcome. I may not see it, but the devil came after our family to attack. The devil came to our family to try to dismantle what God's wanting to do. My prayer this morning has been, Father, save my family, because, like I said, most of them are Jehovah's Witnesses. And they don't believe in salvation. They don't believe the way the Bible teaches. They take the Bible and totally distort it. And there's a lot of confusion in their lives, and I saw a lot of things. I saw the devil at work yesterday, and I sat there in that chair praying. I prayed for salvation for these people. I prayed this morning for salvation for these people. And all I have to do is take it before the Lord. And I know that at the right time, what the Bible says, that God will exalt us, what it means is that God will lift us above our circumstances. God will lift us above the heaviness. God will lift us above the trials. God will lift us up above all that we'll ever go through in this life. Family situations, medical, you know, there's sickness, disease, there's death, there's financial, there's so much job-related things that happen. But in the midst of all of that, God is still God, and He's in the center of it all, and God will always receive my praise. God will always receive honor from me because He rightly deserves it. See, the day is coming when I will stand before the Lord and I'll give an account of my life. I will give an account for the things that I did and for the things that I didn't do. I thank God for His mercy and grace that I have a home in heaven. And that's why that while I'm on the face of this earth, I want to make the stand that even though the devil comes after me, the Bible says in the book of James, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're on the face of this earth. So when the devil comes after you, what is it that you have to do? You've got to submit to God. Humble yourselves, exalt Him, praise Him and honor Him, obey Him in everything, and God's going to lift you up out of your circumstances, and God is going to let you see one day, I don't know when those days will be, but God will let you see why you went through something, and you will have one day an understanding. And you know what? There's also times that we will not receive every answer that we've ever wanted, but we still have to praise God in the midst of this life. The one thing we have to be very careful to do, though, in our walk with the Lord is we cannot stray. Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thy word I've hid in my heart, so I may not sin against thee, the Bible says. If we make ourselves humble and obedient to the word of God, if we read it and study it, we'll not stray from it. There are Christian people, though, who go through difficulties of life, and when they come to that crossroads, or if I call it a fork in the road, you got a choice to make. You can either take the higher road or you can take the lower road. It's your choice. You're standing there. God is with you. God wants you to see the road that He wants you to walk. God wants us to take the higher road. God wants us to have faith and trust in Him. And if we read God's Word and we memorize the Scripture, this is our defense. That's our weapon, the sword, the Word of God. So when the devil comes and attacks us, we can say to the devil, it is written in God's Word, and we can quote the Word of God, and Satan will flee from us. When we speak God's Word, it does mighty and powerful things that we may not see with the physical eye, but in the spirit, there is a battle being won, because when God is on our side, the enemy cannot rise up against us. Because if the Lord is fighting your battles, then you need to look at your battle in a way of victory. With Christ, we have everything we'll ever need. So if we're walking with the Lord, we need to read, we need to pray, and we need to serve. If we do these things, and if we love, then we will not stray. But when we start to stray from God, guess who's watching and guess who's waiting? The enemy, the devil, Satan. And he knows your every weakness. He knows exactly where to attack you. That's why These militaries, that's why training is so important to them. Do you know why soldiers go through basic training and then they go through AIT? I don't know what AIT means. Maybe somebody out there in the that served in the military knows. But I would guess it's maybe advanced intelligence training. I don't know. Anyway, it's advanced military training. And then when you get in and get graduated from basic and AIT and go to serve, you don't quit learning. They teach you the entire time that you're in the Army or Navy, Marines, or Air Force what your job is, what you're supposed to do. And they do that to make you aware that if you have to go to war, you will be protected from the enemy that you're going to go up against. Your advanced tactical training is going to prepare you for battle. That's why we are in basic training upon the face of this earth. We are in God's army. And if we will take the training that God gives us, and if we will put it to good use, then when we go up against and we fight a war every day upon the face of this earth, don't ever get up and say, "Whoo, man, I feel great today. I'm just going to take it easy and just enjoy this day. I'm not going to read and I'm not going to pray because I feel wonderful." That's when you set yourself up for failure. That's when you start relying on your own wisdom. And I'll tell you what, our wisdom is garbage. Our wisdom is nothing when we compare it to the heavenly knowledge and wisdom of God Almighty. If we stay in our relationship with the Lord and we pray and we read, then we will not stray because we will experience a closeness with God that you can't get it anywhere else. This next one I call "Don't Strut." Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." What I mean by "don't strut" is, and I see, you know where I've seen this a lot? I've seen this on TV. I've seen it in preachers that get on TV, and man, they just start making themselves the spectacle. They make themselves the limelight of the hour, whatever. Basically, pride can get a hold of us as God's people, and we can put ourselves in a dangerous situation by saying certain things and acting in certain ways. We can get a haughty spirit, and we can start saying to ourselves, "Well, you know what? I don't need God right now. I don't need the Lord's protection because I've got it all together. I've been doing this long enough now that I'm all right. I can walk on my own 2 feet." Guess what's about to happen? I just read it to you from the book of Proverbs. Pride and a haughty spirit are going to cause you to fall. And when you fall, you're going to fall hard. And it ain't going to feel good. It's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. And you know what? Sometimes I believe that when we get such a prideful attitude and a prideful spirit, and we start telling God we don't need Him, and that's what we're seeing today in our churches. We're seeing God pushed out of churches because people favor what the people want. And when people start to favor what people want, and people start doing what people want to do in God's house, it's going to fall apart. Basically, when we start doing things on our own level and are under our own power, we start to build a house upon the sand, and when the rains and the wind come up against that house, it is going to fall and it will no longer stand. But when we have a foundation, a chief cornerstone, the one called Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and when we decide to build our house upon that foundation, no matter what comes up against it, it will withstand everything that the devil throws at it. If I can think of some people right now going through struggles would be Mike and Terry. Effie has been through things. Everybody. I'm not going to try to single anybody out. Everybody is going through something that we don't know of. People that will not speak certain things of what's going on in their life because they're ashamed, or they think maybe somebody doesn't care. And that's why we've got to get the prideful spirit out of the church. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. That's something that should not even be within us. And that's even looking down on folks for who they are or where they come from. But if we get pride out of the way, but we can't get ourselves so cocky in ourselves and so arrogant that we start to rely on us. Because when we do, we're going to lose our humble spot. Jesus was our example to be humble. He declared that He could do nothing by Himself, but He depended on the Father. That's when we go back to verse 6, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." You have got to be humble in every way. There's a song come out on the radio back when I was a kid, and I literally hate this song. And you probably know what I'm about to say. But Mac Davis came out with this song when I was a kid. And it says, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." I hate that song. I do. That song emanated from the pit of hell. And I cannot stand it. But we have to humble ourselves and say, "God, I can't do this on my own. I don't know which way I'm supposed to go today, but You do. And so I trust You for this. Days forward from here on out, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I trust the Lord with today. I trust the Lord with here and now. I'm here now. My heart is heavy, yes. And I'm full of confusion. But you know what? There may be somebody sitting here right now that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And if I'm up here wallowing in my own self-pity, and if I'm up here, oh, woe is me, and kicking myself around, I'm not going to be a very useful, effective tool for the Lord. But there's somebody here today, so I want to preach the gospel. So I have to humble myself and say, "Lord, what do You want me to preach? How do You want me to preach the Word? And who do You want me to reach today? Help me to be an effective witness." Because you know what? If I didn't preach God's Word today, if I did something totally different, if I didn't humble myself and somebody walked out of here without knowing Jesus and died in a car accident, it would be on me. Lastly, don't stop. Matthew 10:22 says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for My name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." When Satan comes along and fights you, you fight back. But don't fight under your own power and authority. Give it to the Lord. Don't stop. Don't get to a place in life and say, "Well, I've hit another wall. I can't go any further." Yes, you can. You ask God to help you get up and over that wall and get marching on and keep walking. As they used to say, when you fall off the horse, well, don't just lay there. Get up, dust yourself off, get back on the horse and keep riding. And if you fall off again, what do? You dust yourself off, get back on, and you keep riding. You're going to be sore and it's going to hurt. Basically, life is not easy and life is going to be full of turmoil. But if we praise God in the middle of all that, if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, then God is going to lift us up, raise us up above the circumstance, and He's going to give us the power and the strength that we need to continue on day after day. That's why I say, don't sit around worrying about tomorrow. I know so many people who sit down the day before and they make out a list for tomorrow. Why? Why do you make out a list for tomorrow? If you die tonight and you were worried about tomorrow, then how effective were you today? I'll share this and I'm going to close. A friend of mine worked in the prison system, and God had been after him for quite some time to witness to a young lady. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it sometime. There's tomorrow. I got tomorrow. Well, this young lady was going to be going off on vacation. And he said to himself, the day before, or basically her last day at work before she went on vacation, God was heavy on him. You need to witness to her. Well, Lord, I'll witness to her when she comes back. I don't want to today. Well, the young lady got off work, went on vacation. And while she was out on vacation, they rented jet skis. This young lady went out on a jet ski, was not a Christian. Had an accident with another jet skier, killed her. And the news traveled back to my friend, and he found out, and he said he was completely devastated. He said the only thing I could see was her blood on my hands. He said I had a purpose, I had a job to do, and because my eyes were on myself, I put it aside. And he said, now she's dead. And he said, she might have died without Jesus. I don't know. He said, in that last moment, she could have, if she saw something was coming, he said, I hope. But he said, I had a duty. I had a responsibility. I had a ministry call in my life, and I didn't fulfill it. So that's why I say, don't worry about tomorrow. God has put somebody on your heart right now, right today. And you know what the thing to do about that is? Take care of that situation. Don't make your list for tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to do next week or next month. But today, Father, who can I witness to? Yeah, the yard sale, it's slated to come up later this week. But what if Jesus comes back and we're not here? Who have we reached in the meantime? Who have we reached? That's what's important. Who do you want me to reach today, Lord? This morning, I had a laundry list of things I was going to do today. It wasn't going to rain. I'm going to get outside, do this. After preaching this message, Lord, who do I need to go see today? Who do I need to witness to today, Lord? Put somebody in my path, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. So, when the devil starts to come and fight against you and attack, it is your duty as a Christian to be battle ready, to stand up, to fight. We're all going through some kind of a fight. But if we praise the name of the Lord, if we serve Him and worship Him, that trial is going to become a lot easier. I know that day by day, this heartache is going to get better. It will. The pain's going to lessen over time. But for right now, Lord, don't let that stop me. Who can I witness to today?